Facebook can be a very confusing realm.
And we agree with you on that. It's very confusing, considering we're all making up how to use it all the time, always, and no one has told us how to use it.
And that's why we have this podcast for you. Go to Help Podcast helps you navigate the pitfalls of social media behavior.
Yeah, don't do stuff wrong. We have someone on the show, his name is my co-host, and he shows you he does everything wrong. I mean, that's what I think, and I think he does everything wrong, and we take turns hosting the show, and like one week it's about how Deepu is wrong about using Facebook, and the next week it's about, Deepu admitting how wrong he is about using Facebook. It's lots of different episodes.
Yeah, and sometimes there's an episode about how serious you fucking handle everything, so...
Well, am I? You're pretty serious too, Mr. Grumpy Pants.
I don't know.
This is where... And listen to the comedy happening already. We're going to take turns telling you how to use Facebook and social media caringers the way you want. If you don't know what a caringer is, listen to the show. You might hear the explanation, but you also might have picked up that it's a word I made up. And that is what it is. I made it up. So don't listen. Do listen. But don't expect... that.
Go to hell. Download FireFan and play this week with celebrities. It is a great way to play bartender trivia with your friends. It is a lot of fun. Download FireFan and join Haley as a Dog, the league, to play with us. Use promo code Haley on FireFan. All right. So, hello, everybody. Hello, our dear listeners. Mike, I'm glad that I'm so appreciative that I get to do this podcast with you. I love our podcast.
I genuinely love our podcast too. Yeah.
Me too. By the way, I didn't allow you to speak.
I'm sorry.
I love our podcast, but methinks we are going a wee bit too fast. We gotta slow it down a little bit. What is face? What is book? According to the Quaker Oats Hominy Grits Diaries, that's what I call a dictionary, a face is the front part of a person's head from the forehead to the chin, or the corresponding part of the animal, or it is the surface of a thing, especially one that is presented to the view or has a particular function. It is also a component of the body required to enjoy Quaker Oats Hominy Grits. Or hey,
sorry,
can't laugh.
Sorry. It's very serious. It's very serious business.
Okay. Yeah, this is a big deal. This you're gonna see me come to a real zenith of a point here. Okay. So those are the noun definitions of the word face. But there's also a verb definition. Two-faced, which means to confront and deal with or accept. For instance, if someone were to say, I have to face facts, right? Very different definition. Book, the word book is defined as a written or printed work consisting of pages glued or sewn together along one side and bound in covers. No one thinks about the glue. No one ever thinks about how it is sewn. Actually, I shouldn't have said that. So the noun, that's the noun definition. The verb definition.
Okay. Zenith. I'm focusing on the zenith, climbing a mountain.
Okay, yes. Listen, the mountain's got a little bit of a up and down thing going on. I don't have to rush to the mountain. Okay.
Certainly, I wouldn't want.
I like
you
to enjoy them. I'm enjoying
you lose
the mountain.
Oxygen. Yeah. Okay.
I got a tank. Okay, so the verb definition of book, the definition of to book is to reserve, to purchase in advance. For instance, I have booked a table at the Swan. Okay? Okay, so much of the same way Facebooking is becoming a verb, I believe that the creators of Facebook only ever thought of the verbs. To face. To book. Because Facebook is a business. And there's no money in nouns. Okay? The money is in the verbs. In order for pizza to be consumed, it has to be eaten. Verb. Where's the money in skydiving? Where's the money? Is it in plane? No. It's in jumping from a high altitude. Jumping. Verb.
Skydiving's a good verb, too.
Great verb. The moment they can outsource the plane's job. That plane is going to be on a freeway begging for change. But we all know the truth. We all know the truth.
Wait, the plane? So they use like birds or people could fly?
Planes were born obsolete. They all kind of knew it. They all knew that the end was coming. The moment we can catapult people safely to a high altitude, they're done.
So they'll get replaced by trebuchets? I'm just trying to figure out the analogy because I'm taking my...
I mean, in my mind, I was actually thinking of a teleport.
Okay.
Verbs are so in these days. We have even come up with conjugal visits for verbs. I remember my teacher was like, you have to conjugate the verb. I would stare in amazement. Why would she want me to visit a verb in prison and have private sexy time? Now I know. Facebook wants face challenges.
Good one, Bazooka Joe.
Facebook wants us to face challenges, to prearrange our lives through their servers so that they can be a part of us, so that we develop a codependency so strong that we cannot live without it. Now, if I may use a verb, start the show.
Welcome to Go to Hell Podcast. This is the Omega Saga. Deepu Edition Delta. Theme song by Freddie Unreal of the Turnbucklers.
I love that music. Hello, dear listeners. I forgot we had a name for our fans, but I imagine them listening to our show huddled around a dumpster fire waiting for rescue. Welcome to Go to Hell Podcast for two people.
Two people, please.
Two people who have no connection with each other fight about each other's Facebook behavior.
And other social media and such.
Yes. So we have a great show for you guys today.
I want to throw something in at the beginning here. I this week, just because I'm not going to remember it since we're talking about the word Facebook, which we never do, I was watching a TV show that was made before the website Facebook, and they keep talking about Facebooks because you know that that before Facebook, that word, like just like hashtag, that those words were like just you would only know that if you had built an app or a website. Like hashtags are used to navigate your code, and a Facebook was the word for storing photos of people's IDs. And
really, I didn't know.
Yeah, that's where he got it. He took the Harvard Facebook and turned it into Facebook. The idea that you could connect with all these people, and it was so cool to watch a show that was made in between computers and the advent of that website and them having to talk about a Facebook. It was great.
And they use the word Facebook?
Constantly. Because this whole episode is about people's IDs not matching and things like that.
Wow, that's really interesting. Can you say the name of the show or you don't want to?
I don't want to. We already gave Oatmeal a free shout out on the show. So as a producer, I can only do only so many of those per episode.
That is one of the things. I was worried about you having concern about me saying a company name.
No, that's like fine. That was hilarious.
Okay, great.
I'm
not sure. Maybe Quaker Oats gets mad at us for saying Quaker Oats.
This has come up on the show before. I'll just throw it out as a producer. I will shut it down when it's not funnier than it is worth me taking the risk. Do you know what I mean? I might have interrupted had I not been on the floor laughing. So
yeah. People forget that hidden fourth fourth exception to the Fair Use Act. It's got to be hilarious.
Well, if it's listen, here's the thing. If you're going to claim fair use, if you're going to claim parody, it needs to be funny because you're going to go over it over and over again in a courtroom and everybody already regrets their jokes like the third time they hear them. So if I'm going to go in a courtroom, I have to be like, no, it's very funny that he described the face as the thing to enjoy oatmeal. That was very funny.
Well, that was a very interesting factoid to throw out there. I didn't know that hashtag either.
About faces or about hashtags?
The word Facebook and the word hashtag.
Yeah, a lot of these words became like the reason Twitter was genius because it was like, you're going to make people learn what hashtags are? And they were kind of like, yeah, they're capable of learning what it is. Like, you're actually doing Twitter a favor when you put in a hashtag.
Yeah, we're just helping the code get faster.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Something. Anyway, so without I want to talk about Facebook as of late. Without using any detail, because it's not about the details, Facebook has been a flame as of late. And I can kind of hear myself through your microphone. So you should turn your headphones down. It's really showing who we are, Facebook, these days. People write essays. Everyone's sharing these same posts. A lot of people... So, yeah, do you want to say something?
No, I was going to ask how you felt about... Like, I've never heard someone call them essays out loud. I've heard them be said derisively on the internet as essays. But now hearing you say it out loud, like, has anyone ever read an essay they liked or written an essay? You know what I mean? Like, that's a weird thing to be proud of. Not just
not
on Facebook.
Not to completion. I've never read an entire essay.
But I'm not even talking about Facebook. I'm talking about, like, when you were in school and someone made you write an essay. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not a great word. It's not really associated. There's very few people that write essays. Like, I think Benjamin Franklin wrote some essays, and people are like, yeah, that's one hell of an essay. But a lot of other people, it's about, like, Catcher in the Rye, chapter four.
My essays in school were so bad that oftentimes I wouldn't even get a grade. I would just get a question mark. Were you ever at that level of stupid?
Game changed. No, I did one time, this teacher put a question. I have a lot of great school exploits in terms of, I think, the education system's broken. But
let's hear it.
But I did one time a teacher put, like, on a 2-page test, she gave, like, a lot of space for this question about drawing. And I was like, and she was one of these, like, I'm so hip teachers. And I thought she had, like, you know, pulled one over on us and was like, I'm so hip, the whole test is drawing a drawing. So I drew for the whole test.
Fascinating.
Did not do well.
So, I can see that. So, you know, in the past couple of days, everyone has been posting or reposting a particular call to action. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's saying that everyone should do this particular, make this phone call or write this email to someone. The message of which I am in agreement with.
Okay.
In theory, I would absolutely do this call to action, but I cannot possibly endorse doing it because I'm afraid. What if I do this call to action? What if we all do this call to action and it actually works? It facilitates the change that we want to see, and helps helps foster that. Then Facebook problems we experience will become even worse.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yes.
Because now we know Facebook has this power. And now it's that much more important and to become an even further glorified soapbox for people to tout their causes.
I like that you went vague with this because it lets you expand further. I like this fear. And obviously I think maybe you're framing it a little wrong. Wouldn't it be great if we could change stuff? But
But I think it matters the avenue which the change is facilitated. I think it matters a lot because if Facebook becomes the place where that change is achieved, then other people will try and achieve their change. You know, there'll be an equal yet opposite force on the same platform.
Totally.
So now we just
next week. This is a really good vein. This is a really good vein.
Absolutely.
I think even more interestingly is, do you think it occurs to these people that post, again, we're not going to say what the thing is, if you're listening to this in the time it's happening, like a couple months from now, you might not know what we're talking about, but it'll be evident. Do you think it occurs to people when they post on stuff, like that on their Facebook page, everyone agrees with them, right? But then yet the real world... it doesn't happen. Do you think it occurs to them that perhaps this is futile? That Facebook is futile? Do you think that pops up to them?
I think they think, what's the harm in trying to post it? Because it's free. It doesn't cost anything.
Right.
You just copy and paste, right? And then people just kind of throw it out there. And it doesn't get like the kind of crazy response that an original idea could potentially get. But people just throw it out there. Now, maybe... it's because I'm South Asian, but I like to think of Facebook as a once lovely spice market. You know, you know, think of a spice market that's doing well. Commerce is good, prices are good, customers are happy. There's all sorts of crap. The original Quaker oat is there. It's just one big oat, okay? You pull off a little bit of the big oat and you sell it. It's like really it's really
they
interesting.
They couldn't refine it yet.
Yeah, they didn't have the I mean, the original oat was so big that you could just peel off, like, it was like a gigantic, what's that thing? Artichoke. You just pull off, like, a gigantic leaf on the outside, and then people would just eat that. Anyway,
so many workers at spice markets were injured from falling oatmeal.
Under the big oat.
The weight of the oatmeal. More people die in South Asia from oats falling on their heads in trees than they do shark attacks. More people
die
from...
It's a sad state of affairs.
Apple oatmeal trees have the heaviest fruit of any.
Yeah, because the tree somehow grows a marble bowl for the oatmeal. It's incredible.
It's horrible.
It's an amazing work of evolution.
Very heavy for oatmeal, too. Very elaborate for oatmeal. Not necessarily a rich man's food. Marble bowl is a little bit embarrassing.
Yeah, all right. So think of the spice market.
Commerce, the shit, the giant oatmeals.
Yeah. The paprika's good. Customers just assume it's Hungarian paprika and not McCormick paprika. It's amazing. The Baghdad average is up 300 Mohammeds. That's their stock market. They're doing great.
Where is this place? It's moving around a lot.
I know. I think a spice market. When I think spice markets, I think Aladdin, which makes me think like Middle Eastern territory. I know I said I'm South Asian, but we, you know.
Okay.
Let's do both. I want to do both places.
It's a spice market of the world. I'll imagine it how I want to imagine it too. Mine, as being an American, is in Whole Foods and everything is very overpriced and the soaps are right next to it.
Okay, we can go with that too. That somehow still works.
It's great, Whole Foods. Keep your soaps next to your spice, because the one thing I want about my soaps is to be very close to curry, because nobody has ever tried to wash the smell of curry out of themselves, you dummies. Sorry.
Okay, so we have the spice market. We have the spice market. It's going great. But then one day, some guy in a robe gets on top of an empty tomato crate and starts mouthing off about how the Shah has it too good.
I want to say, I don't know why I expected better, but for I'm not even a history buff. I look like I'm so pretentious and smart on the show. Many people would say there were a couple of ways you could have taken how spice markets went awry. several historical examples you could have just borrowed as to.
I've never heard of spice markets in history going through an event.
Are you kidding? I don't know whether you're kidding. Like we,
I'm not
I can't
kidding.
I can't believe we don't have a word. Deepu, it caused how? What? I can't. I don't want to.
Give me a clue. Not the Salt March. Can we not talk about the Salt March? That's a different thing.
Okay. Literally, your country was founded on people killing each other over spices.
Oh yeah, colonization. Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
I'm talking about the
British and all them stuff.
Pre-colonization. This is before the Brits come along.
Marco Polo.
Okay? Yes, this is before
Genghis
all that.
Khan.
Why aren't you just acknowledging that?
Because
I'm trying.
Okay, it's fine. Go on. I don't know. I don't know how to teach you all this history.
Point is, guy shows up in the spice market, gets up on the soapbox, which is very close to the spices. So now the soap particles are very close to the spice, which is a problem, as you've pointed out in Whole Foods in 2016. Yeah. All right, this guy gets up on a box and starts talking about how, you know, the leader of that time has it too good. Okay, now the nearby salespeople pay it no thought. A crazy person he must be, they say to him. They say to themselves, but this guy in a robe is starting to get a crowd.
Right.
Every day, you know, a little bit more people. You know, he's like four people. Next day, he's got like eight people. And now people are there just to hear the guy talk. Guy on tomato box starts a revolution.
He's doing crowd work. Hey, the Shah's got it too easy. Who's got a wedding anniversary?
Lenny Muhammad Bruce was a real charming fellow. Now, there's multiple guys.
Deepu, talk to my black friends at a spice market?
Well, it's a long story. Make sure you use your right hand. That's the most important thing. You got to talk with your right hand.
went for the actual reference as opposed to the Lenny Bruce reference. I like it. Cultural facts, not Lenny Bruce facts. I'm into it.
This podcast is also about a collision of two comedic minds that are just never in sync.
Never.
Okay, so now there's multiple people in the spice market on boxes yelling about politics. Okay. And shoppers start caring less about turmeric guy. Okay? Turmeric guy came and afforded to build an addition to his home that he's been planning for years. Okay? Turmeric guy starts putting filler in the turmeric.
That's son of a bitch.
You know what they use as filler back then?
I'm thinking. I don't know. There was like only six things. I don't know. I'm going to guess swords.
Well, I like the audience having their own imagination kind of fill in the blanks, and I'll just say that you don't even want to know what they use as filler, okay? You see how this is going?
Yeah, I see the problem here. So then what's the ultimate goal here of this observation?
Okay, so Facebook used to be a cool place. It had novelty.
I want to question that before you say that. False. Facebook used to be, if we're going to talk, I need to introduce history here. You're not required to know why Marco Polo did anything, unfortunately. That's not in our contracts. But
great.
Facebook used to be an elitist thing for only for people that had gone to college to pretty much have your college reunion before it happened. It has never been cool. It became cool after it. It was lame.
That exclusivity made it cool,
but you wouldn't have been on it. You didn't go to college. You weren't in college when that was the case.
My freshman year of college was the first year, or one of the first years that they rolled it out. I could not wait to get my college email so I could sign up for Facebook. It was a big deal.
I think you have your timeline wrong. I'm serious.
Felt cool at the time.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, Facebook. It had this. Novelty, you know, it was a very crisp interface. The interactivity it gave you felt new and fresh. But now the meaning of the place has changed. Everyone's on the same page. We all are aware of the capabilities. It's no longer seen as a place of secret wonder. It is now a place where everyone gets on a tomato box and cries.
I can think of no better place to go to our next segment here, which is Mike and Deepu Shout Your Shit.
Join FireFan, everybody, and join. You gotta get the app. You gotta play with us. I mean, Mike is so bad.
I'm really bad at it.
Guessing bartender.
Here's what happens. It's like I get some points. I'm not so bad that I get. So here, pretty much FireFan. Hi, I'm Mike, a producer, Mike Valley. Pretty much the way FireFan works is this: You predict things about the games. So it's sort of like, instead of changing the variable like in fantasy football where you change your players and it's the same questions every week, what this is mm-hmm. you change the questions can change every week. So your ability to predict how many touchdowns a really good receiver on a passing team will get is not necessarily a guarantee because, you know, you made that decision at the beginning of the season. The way this works is the person running the league can be like, okay, this week we have to guess this. And a lot of the questions are used, you know, the same, you know, how many yards will this team rush for and all those things. But
the questions they make are really good because they really do their homework. You can kind of like, so they had a question this past week about whether or not the Patriots' third receiver will achieve a certain number
Let's
of catches.
Let's explain. That's in our league. Michael, who runs our league, not me, Michael, a different Michael. So they was, if you run a league, you're able to choose the questions. I don't know if you've done that. Yeah, you just have played in it. I spent a bunch of my coins to start one of my leagues, which was the best league that I own.
So yeah, they have great questions every week. It's not just yes or no answers. It's like point ranges. Like so your answers could be like, I think a certain receiver is gonna get 20 yards, or you know, 0 to 20 yards. A certain team, you could get like 100 to 200 yards total, 200 to 400 yards total, or 500+. And it gets really nitty gritty. You can really like show off how smart you are at the game or how dumb in your case.
Yeah, here's what I do. Like the first two questions, I'll generally like put a little bit of research in. But then Mm-hmm. Just the prospect of so many questions there get me pressured because I'm so stupid. And I'm just like, that I then with brazen confidence, I'm like, yes, this, that.
My only issue with the app is that they don't have like funny questions. You know, like, how big is Matt Ryan's dick?
How big? But you would never think it is. No.
Do you think it is?
I think that's why they have the chat, buddy.
Oh, yeah, and there's chat, and you get to have your own profile picture, and you get to have a cool username. My username is John Wilkes Booth, by the way, so add me.
I think we established that might not be your username, but if you search that on FireFan, you will find Deepu eventually. Mine is, of course, Go to Hell Podcast. You can find me on there. Let's go back to the show.
All right, so we are back. Mike, I wanted to talk about something I saw you do recently on Facebook, and it's not even a problem that I have with what you said or anything, but it did remind me of like how sad it is to be a creator of anything, even just a creator of a post, creator of a picture, anything. So someone on Facebook kind of did a joke about how it was like everyone should post.
As a producer, I'll streamline it for you what the post was. The post was somebody posted they found a Yelp review that someone had taken the opportunity in their Yelp review to say something political. So this person made a joke by finding that post and saying, post stuff where it matters on Yelp. And I, of course, said, we said post stuff where it matters on Yelp. That this was our theory, was that Yelp was more important than Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... and then I had to jump in and say, like, hey, listen, we're going to have a nice talk about this on the show today. Because, first of all, this guy didn't hear our podcast. This
he
guy...
He shall neither know the wrath of the Go to Hell podcast.
They came up with their... Then there's a high chance... I don't know how big your ego is, but there's a high chance they came up
do
with
you
an
want,
independent...
Do you want to know? Take a guess at how big my ego is.
Well, I mean, it'd be a great Fire fan question, too.
It's a pretty big ego, I gotta say.
I'm not compensating, okay?
No.
It's pretty huge.
No, I'm not.
You have a great ego. I think you're a great confident guy, and I think you're very funny.
Oh,
so,
stop it.
So this brings me to the concept of idea ownership. You know, just because we definitely came to this concept first, you know, posting seriously about ideas and, you know, politics on Yelp. Mm-hmm. Does that make us the owner of that idea and concept?
Are you asking me?
Do you have any right? Like, were you serious when you said, hey, we talked about it on our show?
Yeah, you know, I have a problem with meme culture, the created meme, which you and I have talked about how sad it is that that's what meme means now, even though the original, look up the original definition of meme. I think that the internet doesn't realize that when you take away people's power, I have no problem being like, that was us. Just like I said, I didn't invent posting those surveys, but certainly I got into a group of people on Facebook, started doing that, and it became popular. Like, I'm not going to not recognize history.
But it feels very futile to try and prove... There is a certain... like, being the owner, being the creator of a certain idea is a trophy. That if you can prove it, it's a great thing. It's something you should be proud of. But how petty, like, do we want to go that far and be like, hey,
did you have a problem with me saying, like, yeah, we said that Yelp is the place to post stuff. We predicted that.
I didn't have a problem with you saying what you said. It just it reminded me of, like, you know, some work I had done recently kind of was... you know, some of the concepts were kind of lifted, and I was like, you know what? I'm putting this stuff out there anyway. I'm putting this out there to the public anyway. Anyone can deconstruct it and recreate them in their own way.
You thought your work was lifted, or you felt as though you sort of lifted someone else's thing?
I thought my work was lifted.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, but
how
you know
soon
what?
After?
Like, pretty soon after, like a week.
What? I don't want you to name names, obviously.
I can't. I'm not going to even say, like, details or anything. But
okay.
It was heartbreaking, and it kind of just made me think, you know what? My work is something I was putting on a public platform. It was a social media platform, you know, exhibition. I can't possibly say, I can't enforce people to stay away from it.
Yeah, I mean, on the strange. Reason I do that sometimes is because on the internet, you know, credit is all about who claims it. And sometimes the internet is willing to be like, I don't know where that came from. I will point to you to the allegory of the little, if you've ever noticed, there is a picture of a person in the JPEG picture on your Mac. There's a picture of a boy there. And it's shrouded in mystery as to who that is. And there's somewhat of a debate as to whether we should know or shouldn't know. That is the infraction at this point worth finding out who it is?
Yeah, so, you know, I wanted to just take your thoughts on that. You know, what do you think about just someone that just starts lifting concepts from stuff you do, and then there's no enforcing it. There's no there's no culture of, like, we have to make sure that the originator, Isra, is treated as such and is respected as such.
Yeah, you know, again, I will point you, with social media, I'll point you to user agreements. I just want to say that right away. Instagram famously has one of the most vicious user agreements, and they own every single picture you post there. They can use any picture you or video you have on there for an advertisement, and they can use it however they want. And famously, wow. Sort of in the beginning of Facebook, in the beginning of Instagram, they made this television ad, and it showed people's pictures, and they were like, yeah, we just took them. Read the user agreement. That user agreement hasn't changed. The user agreement is the same. Instagram owns your pictures, and by transitive property, Facebook, who owns Instagram, owns your pictures.
So with that being said, you know, I'm worried that this really just means the demise for creators as a whole.
Now, if we're going to talk about creators, I have a different opinion.
Sure.
Now, when we talk about social media, you have to realize that if you say something to me in conversation, you know, there's plenty of creators that I know that creating anything, inventing apps, saying stuff, that they go, I understand from what I do, and I've had to say it to people. I had to say it last week. I had to say it to, they said, what are you working on? I said, it's a little project called NDA. People know, that's it for people, it's a non-disclosure agreement. Sometimes you just can't say what you're working on. I've had friends that are scientists, and they go, yeah, no, I can't tell you. I've had friends that have worked for the government, same thing. It's, you know, you are responsible for what you say, and you don't have to participate in the same way when it comes to social media. For creators, and especially your comedy scene, I will say that the act of unprofessionalism since the end of the boom and irresponsible business practices on the part of small comedians and open mic runners has rendered this problem almost impossible to fix.
Yeah, it's real. I mean, I wasn't even talking about comedy scene.
Made it about that.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. I do love to talk about comedy. But I was saying creator in a very general sense. I'm talking about people that even write.
Don't post it.
So.
I don't understand. Don't post it. It's this thing where you have copyright rights if you publish it. Don't post it on something that's free. Stop giving away. Giving away your stuff for free.
There's a guy out there that did exactly what you just said and didn't post it and kept it on their hard drive, and they are a fucking. They're an unacknowledged genius.
They're
just sitting on a gold mine.
These people.
Well, where can they post it? Where can they post it?
What? Where can they post Susie's haircut looks great? I don't know, Deepu. You're right. I'm just such a fucking idiot.
All right, let's go to Letters to the Predator.
Letters to the Predator. So this week we have a recording from someone, right?
Yes, we do.
So I've heard it before. I'm going to lay it in later. Let's hear it again.
I have a question from my friend Dan Perlman, who is a comedian who has gone to Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. He does a show at Caroline's. Great guy.
Okay.
Here's his question.
I wonder why people sometimes use Facebook like it's Google. They ask questions that are very easily answerable by Google. I mean, I know why. It's because they're generally sad and they want to feel like a human connection. But just, you know, there's other ways to do that.
Mm. Did you get that?
I did, Dan. I don't think Dan and I are friends. I think Dan may have rejected my friendship a few times.
Dan is a cold man. He's a cold, successful guy.
So how do you feel about that? In Letters to the Predators, of course, we take your Facebook questions and we take turns answering them. So Deepu, how do you answer that question?
Well, I mean, it's a thing we've talked about on the show before. You know, you actually kind of said that, like, you found out this other guy posted surveys and it got a lot of engagement, so you kind of started doing it, and then a lot of people you saw kind of, you think that you, they kind of saw you do it and they started doing it, so he's actually reacting to something you were a part of.
No, I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's talking about, because I've seen the post he's talking about, I think he's talking about people that are like, where does anyone know, like, where the, what the fastest bus to the metro station is? Like, you know what I mean? Like, people will ask things like that. Like, what's a dentist that's on Blue Horizon in Cincinnati? You know what,
see, like, that to me sounds like a survey. I mean, a survey is a question.
My
is a survey.
Surveys were things like, for example, a lot of heated discussion on whether bathing suits and underwear were the same, to which I said,
oh, that was huge.
It was huge. Huge. Yeah. Big shout to very funny comedian Kathy Humes, who I believe I will talk about this interaction on the next episode.
Sure. Let's not. Yeah, you're right. There's a distinction. You are asking very engaging questions. There's a conversation to be had that you can't just Google. Other people ask questions that are very Googleable.
Yeah.
But I think the source of it, I mean, and the guy nails it, Dan nails it, you know, these are, I think they're chasing the same thing that the other guy, the other kind of question asker is chasing, which is engagement, involvement, just kind of response because they're alone. I don't look at these questions with animosity. Like, but, you know, it does make sense. Why don't people just Google it? But
I'll inject this question to you. Because I think that's an interest. I think I don't think you're struggling with the answer, but I think you're accepting that someone just, I like your answer. They're doing it for attention. They know someone will answer. You're saying it's low hanging fruit. Someone will react to the easily answered question, right? That's what your point is.
I feel like the asker is chasing the endorphin release of getting an answer.
Right. So someone will answer it because it's so easy to answer.
Yes.
I will throw this out to you. There is this theory when people are trying to find long-term relationships that being competent, that the person in the relationship that acts very competent and like their life is together, that they, again, this is something that people, you know, this is something you're this is something a relative will tell you when you're single at a later age. But, you know, this is bad advice. I'm not saying this is real. but the idea is, the common thought is that the helpless person actually attracts this person that they really don't deserve, because the competent person, their parental instincts kick in, and that's they right. want to help the helpless person. So what do you think of that idea in terms of this question?
So the person that asks this question is that helpless younger sibling type.
Right, there you go. The little brother, the kid sibling, the
And so putting in that reference, I hate younger brother guy. I hate him.
I also hate. We're going to call it younger brother guy cuz that's what I want here.
Codependent beta male, get out of my life.
It's these shiftless people that don't take a stance. You know,
younger brother guy, that's gonna be our thing. Like, you ever hear that? Actually, I remember that Real Men of Genius ad campaign.
Yeah, of course. Another free shout out here. Great. Everybody's getting a piece. Who else wants some? Mickey D's? Sure. Let me get a McPick too.
I heard a great factoid about A&W Burgers. Anyway, so
here's my great factoid. A&W Burgers still has stores.
No, it was a story about how they tried to stay in business. But that's neither here nor burger, okay? But how do we feel about the guy who answered? What's that?
I want to rewrite that one. That's neither here nor there, but with A&W. That's neither steer nor
awkward.
There.
Okay, I like it. Steered or there.
Steer, great. Like a cow.
No, I got you.
Like a cow. Like it's here, but it's a cow. It's a burger here nor there. Steer nor there. Thank you for applauding. Okay. That's how. Whenever you hear, if you ever perform and you get booed, that's actually cows in the audience. Don't be so hateful. you're welcome, Bazooka Joe. That's two in one episode.
This is the most sponsored episode of Go to Hell podcast ever. Anyway, so how do we feel about the older brother guy commenting on younger brother guy's inquiry, throwing him the bone, casting him the life rafter that saves him from being drifting away into nothingness of unanswered questions?
I mean, I see it. I think. I, sorry, go on. I was gonna lead you in a way.
I totally gave you a window answer, and I just jumped in on your window.
No,
so.
It's your week to answer. I was gonna lead you somewhere. Keep talking.
Okay, so how do I feel about Older Brother Guy? I think Older Brother Guy is a champion of what people can be. You know, he could easily just be like, no, fuck this guy. I got older brother shit to do. But he sets aside 20 seconds of his time and says, hey, you know what? This guy's going to feel a lot better if someone likes his post, gives an answer, tells him where to get that haircut, tells him what episode of Star Trek had Sarah Silverman, or whatever the fuck the question is. How do you feel about it?
Well, was Sarah Silverman on Star Trek?
An episode of Deep Space Nine.
I will have to watch that as soon as we end this episode. I can answer about it next week. I'm trying to make sure you cover everything with this thing. You're saying that the older brother character, the character that's caring for this person, is in a way isn't being duped, right? Let's assume everyone's being genuine in this case.
Yes.
That this person kind of needs some love and is just asking something because they want something answered. They want a little bit of attention. And they're doing it in a very benign way.
That's right. No one's being duped.
So
here.
You think the older brother guy recognizes. You're saying he sees that and he goes, this person just wants a little bit of – they want to feel like they're cared for. You know what I mean? They want someone to
Absolutely.
Answer. That's interesting.
Absolutely. An unanswered post is basically just a baby in a maternity ward that has not been claimed.
I have two questions. We're running close out of time, so I want to ask you the first one that's about this first, and then to another question you were
Please.
Supposed to answer, and we'll find out whether you actually thought about it. Do you delete posts?
I don't recall ever deleting a post.
If posts don't do well, I delete them.
I stand by it because I'm showing that I'm an older brother. I'm showing that I don't care about a lack of response.
I don't know if it's because I'm doing this whole thing for the podcast and that I'm trying to keep up appearances and things like that. If it doesn't break 40 likes, if it doesn't have a ton of comments, boom, you're gone.
Wow. You're like the abortion doctor of Facebook posts.
In a way that's very similar, but also very, very
gruesome.
Well, very not similar in that I don't. I'm not a doctor. I wouldn't know what to do in an emergency, and that mostly, that's the similarities end in the idea that I'm not sure
the
where
post.
They start.
I usually like I never abort a. Post
well, let's
3 months
let's
in.
After... okay. My other question was, I asked you to think about this last week. Why do you log on to Facebook?
I log on to Facebook to make sure I'm still alive, to make sure I'm still connected.
Oh, there you go. Relevancy.
Mm.
Is that
That's
it?
Right.
You want to feel
That's
relevant
it.
And talked about?
That's it.
Well, you know, but you
it's
don't
all, it's
sh- you don't
me.
Do what I do. Like, you know, I shake things up. I'm shaking things up on there. People aren't. I don't make everyone happy, but you know, 4,300 and counting.
Holy shit!
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous.
You see, fuck, I just blanked. But
4,300.
See, but I think your relationship with Facebook is a little different from mine because I actually see a lot of people I'm friends with on Facebook in person. You do not, if I'm not mistaken.
I see some of them, though. Let me say this. I see the fucking same amount that most of you do. I just don't give a shit about Facebook. I don't. It's not real. You guys get that, right?
Is it not real? Could you just say any offensive thing without repercussion?
No, because it's the internet. I meant that it's obviously being broadcast to the World Wide Web. That's not what I meant. I think a lot of people genuinely are treating Facebook like it's not in cyberspace. Like, it isn't just another social media website. I think a lot of people aren't taking the time. Why I'm asking you to think about why you log on Facebook is I think a lot of people aren't taking the time to think why they're doing it. And I think that then
That's true.
Get frustrated, and then their only response is to just create a surrogate or an avatar that they can't enjoy the site for what it is. It has to be letting these people into their psyche, which is damaging. Damaging. If you don't just, you know, like, we'll talk about it next week, but I get flack for the way I use this website for this podcast. But I don't care because it's a perceived version of this. It's like we talked about with perceived creepiness. Facebook suggests friends to me, right? We talked about that a few weeks ago. And people are like, that's creepy. True. It's like, dude, it's a feature right here. You can set it so that it doesn't suggest you to people.
I think the friend suggestion thing goes, oh, you might know this guy. Do you want to add him?
Who cares? I don't know any of them. And so far, Facebook has never – they never send out – you know, LinkedIn has methods so that you can't do this. You know what I mean? Like, people want to say this, but other social media sites, you really can't. It's harder to connect to people you don't know.
Yeah. And, well, I'm glad we could.
And let me admit, even then, I have like 900 LinkedIn followers because every social media site can be broken.
You're an interesting guy, Mike. You're an interesting guy. So I just want to say thank you, Mike, for joining me today.
Probably nice at the end is what he's probably going to say to me. Here we go.
So I think the audience can agree that Facebook is a real problematic spice market. And, you know, if I could just channel every ounce of my being into a habanero that somehow could call you stupid, I would do that. I'd be the wonder twin that would yell, form of pepper with vocal cords. And I would say, go to hell.
You go to hell.
All right, check out FireFan, folks. Download the app, join Haley the Dog, our league, and play with us. Use promo code Haley to get some free points and play with us. Bar time trivia, all the great sports out there. Play with your celebrities, FireFan. Download the app.
All right, I want to throw in a little bonus thing here at the end for people because I need to figure this out right now. A, we need a code word on this show for when I'm knowing if you're being serious or not. B, okay, this seems personal. Are you willing to answer this question? Are you from India? Is your family from India?
I thought you were going to ask it like an actual grilling question, like dive into my core.
No, that's personal. I probably wouldn't answer that. But is your family from India? You don't have to answer it.
I'm going to just wallow in the pride that I have in not mentioning my race.
Yeah, I don't mention my race either. But okay.
It's a little different for you, though. You're a white guy.
You don't know that. You just
assume that's true.
It's totally racist. I've never told you anything about where I come from.
That's true, but we are above race on this podcast.
Of course, obviously, because we're better than everyone, which means we both might be white. Boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
What was the other question?
No, there was the other question was: are you fucking kidding that you've never heard about how spices have ruined the world? Every spice market, it's the whole reason for thousands of years wars were fought over fucking pepper.
No, I know. Spices are a big deal.
The salt, salt is a spice. It wasn't just about salt. Salt was what Gandhi chose to take a stand on. It was all their spices. Raping the country. There were just a lot of spice workers so he could like unite them, as far as I understand it.
When you mentioned the British, I was totally on your same page. But just because a spice market existed in my imagination doesn't mean I have to think of the following corruption.
Wait, but you
corruption.
Could sound so smart. It was so close to this really smart analogy where you were like, it's like a think about the spice markets and the idea of proselytizing at the spice markets, and you could go into this whole Christian missionaries thing from, you know, the West meeting East. Hey, but instead, it was about tomatoes and the guy. What was it?
You're
and then
right.
To be like, and then to be like, I've never heard of spices being fought over.
Did I say that?
Yeah. It was a crazy episode. I was like, that's why we need a code word. Because I was like, he's definitely fucking with me.
Okay, at that point, I was dead serious.
I know. Now I'm realizing that. You're not required to have a history degree
Buddy,
to make this podcast.
Buddy, by calling me out, you're taking... we have audience members that were totally on board with my analogy.
I'm sure they're on board with it, but I think we also have audience... Listen, I was on board with it too, but I think we also have audience... You don't have to change your analogy just because there is.
I won't.
I mean? I'm not saying that you have to write the way I would write, but I'm just saying... I think there are other audience – I think I like the analogy the way it was, but there are other audience members who look at what I said and they're like, why – how did Deepu not know that? Why I looked like
I
a crazy person, so I had to add something.
I will absolutely theory craft about fans of ours and what they think the day I meet a fan of ours, okay?
I think a lot of our fans, like me, prefer to stay in the internet.
Whoa. Okay. Well, tweet at me, folks. R2 Depot.
Yeah, tweet it. Yeah, you have, yeah, in the reviews, there are some people supporting you.
Oh, and I've seen those, and I do appreciate that, but yeah. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel, I want to see a post on my Facebook wall.
Maybe,
anyway.
Maybe post something engaging, you know?
Yeah, I do a lot of closed questions. Questions that really just don't warrant an answer.
You got accused this week too. We can talk about it next week, but you got accused this week too of talking about people that nobody would know who you're talking about except those people.
Which is fine.
Yeah. All right, hey, go to hell. This is a book.